Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood.
On Tuesdays, get your pop culture news and reviews with a pure Bostonian perspective on the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then on Thursdays, you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, presenting the Live Issues program.
It's going down each week. Only in the land of Ash, nerdcore at its finest.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and Omnistry Inc. proudly present No Borders, No Race, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders No Race. I am your host, King Baby Duck. We've got an excellent show for you all today. Our buddies, the Fleming Brothers of Wicked Anime, are going to pop by to chat about a couple new summer anime. And later, 42 Believer is going to join us as we share our thoughts on who we'd want to be in Super Smash Brothers. We're talking game characters, anime peeps, even some real folks who'd look great on the Smash stage. So let's get things rolling right now and spin some killer music. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these albums and EPs from cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. We're going to start off the show with a cut from the Cro-Magnons. This comes off of their Mondo Rocchio album. It's called Glycerin Queen. Ooh, oh, 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 oh. Glycerin Queen. Hidoku samui natsu ni kijuki hon no gita.
Cut it down.
Dragon Ash with Cowboy Fuck. That comes off of their debut album, Mustang. I read the title of that song, and it made me think of that Elvis-looking hot dog vendor in Magical Shopping Arcade Abenobashi, and I just had to play it. Joining me right now is our good buddies, Andrew and Jonathan Fleming of Wicked Anime.
Yo. Hello.
Hi there, how's it going?
Good. Good.
Now, before we begin, have you guys ever watched Abenobashi before?
Abunobashi? No, I don't think so.
It's from Gainax. It was one of the shows that they did, like, I think it was, like, right after they did Fooly Cooly. This was the show they did right afterwards.
You had me at Gainax.
Okay. I know ADV Films released it. I don't know if, like, the whatever company it is that now does ADV Films, I think it's Sentai.
Yeah, Sentai Filmworks, and as they know, they're known on Amazon.com, Section 23. I see that all over the place, Section 23, but it's always just Sentai Filmworks. I don't know what's up with that.
Yeah, I understand that either. But anyway, we got a couple segments that you're going to be taking part in this week, and we got a couple anime shows we're going to talk about, and we've got some, you know, a bit of a fun thing that we're going to do right afterwards.
Yeah.
So, right now, the summer anime series season is just, like, really kicking off, and there are two shows, one of which that you guys turned me on during the podcast show you guys just had me on.
Mm-hmm. Which is actually coming out after this recording.
Oh. Yeah. I was wondering when that was going to be, but...
Yeah. Okay. Next week.
Yeah. But Faye, before we go into that show specifically, I want to talk about the new anime from Shinichiro Watanabe. Because this is a show that I've been waiting since it's been announced back in spring. Terror and Resonance, because you got Watanabe, and you've also got Yoko Kanno coming back doing music for him.
Yeah.
You know, this is a show that has gotten, I don't want to say has gotten some controversy, but it has some people talking about some things that, it has some comparisons to some real life events that have happened in these last few years.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird mix between 9/11 and the marathon bombings.
Yeah.
But I know it's not intentional, but watching it brings up some really familiar feelings.
Right.
But I'm not looking at that as a bad thing. I actually kind of like it. I think it's amazing.
Kind of like it. I'm on board, man.
Oh,
like,
well, I just meant the feelings. The feelings the show. Themselves. The show is just incredible.
Yeah.
Yes. Because, you know, I can understand where they come from, you know, from the visual standpoint, but, you know, these comparisons, they're coincidental because, you know, an anime series takes a couple years to develop, so they have probably came up with the idea for this even before what happened in Boston last year.
Yeah, though I would have to say that 9/11 was probably an inspiration.
Yes.
And that's not a bad thing. I mean,
well, it's kind of weird to think that maybe even if it was, you know, an inspiration, you know, the war on terrorism is an American thing, not really anywhere else.
You have to think about it too. It was an American tragedy, you know, that specific act of terror was an American tragedy. Mm-hmm. But you have to imagine how it would resonate. Terror and resonance around the globe, you know? I mean, can you imagine if something as big as that, you know, a terrorist destroyed an entire building and metropolis in just anywhere? I mean, think of the subway bombings in England.
That's true.
We were talking about it like crazy.
Yep.
Yeah, well, anyways. I almost forgot about those ones.
Yeah.
So this show, Terror Resonance, it follows two boys. They're named... Well, their real names aren't this, but they call themselves 9 and 12. Yep. They move to Tokyo, start high school there, and they have, you know, their terroristic intentions. And during their first day there, they meet a young girl named Lisa, who... She's kind of having trouble fitting in. She's been bullied, and she kind of looks like she has a bit of an eating disorder because of the bullying.
I think it's just... Yeah, you're right. I actually forgot about the eating disorder thing because she did.
Actually, it wasn't an eating disorder. It was weird because she took out her lunch in that episode and started thinking about her mother. So it was kind of like a stress thing, I think. Not so much an eating disorder, but it hasn't really explained it, so we don't really know.
Well, it didn't help that part wasn't translated in Japanese by Funimation.
Yeah,
when you were reading the text, it was like, "What's going on? What's she saying?" But they didn't translate it.
Yeah, I don't know because at the end of the episode, I mean, this is kind of spoilery, but it's only the first episode. You kind of get the first episode with anime in the synopsis of the show. So we all already kind of know this, but when she has the idea that she's going to disappear from life, she kind of wants that. And that's her reasoning for joining them and becoming an accomplice.
Right.
So she wasn't lonely or anything. She wanted to go away. So that's kind of why it was flashing back to her mother and letting you know that she has a bad family life. So she really didn't care if she was going to be gone.
Do you feel like that means she kind of has a sort of suicidal tendency? Or do you think this is more of she just wants to leave where she lives and go someplace else?
Yeah, I don't think she's suicidal yet. I think it more has more...
Kind of like a starting anew. Because, I mean, if she had suicidal tendencies, she could have just said, yeah, kill me.
Yeah, stay in the building and die. But
that is true.
I think she wants to start over.
Mm-hmm. Hence why when she was given the two choices, she said, I don't want to die.
Yep.
So, to talk about the first episode, the premise had, you know, it looked like it was 9 and 12, stealing plutonium from the facility, and first off, I was trying to figure out what was it that they were spray painting? VOH? What does that mean? What could that mean?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Right now, it's not relevant. Maybe if they do another terrorist attack or something, they're going to spray paint it again. Who knows? I'm sure Shinichiro has a really, really good explanation, but isn't going to reveal that to us yet.
Right. I was kind of nervous at the beginning of the first episode because the likelihood of those two guys being able to break into a facility like that was really highly unlikely in my mind. That was like, and I kind of had an issue with that right off the bat, which was interesting because I wasn't really expecting the opening scene to be like that kind of anime. I was kind of hoping it was going to turn away from that, which it did later on in the episode. I got more of what I was expecting out of the anime on the second half of the episode. But the first half was kind of like, this isn't really what I was looking for.
Yeah, homemade bombs are way scarier to watch than stealing somebody else's bomb.
Yeah.
Or plutonium, as it were.
Yeah. But you know what I mean, right? Like, if,
yes.
like watching somebody kind of devise these plans all on their own and like see they're crazy, even though I really don't think these two characters are crazy. I do not get that intention or that feeling from them at all.
Right.
I think they're very intelligent and it's some sort of revenge plot.
Yeah. And would it be weird to call 9 and 12 likable characters? Because I know their intentions at this moment. They're somewhat evil intentions, but they do have their likable traits. I mean, they looked at this Lisa girl. They never met this girl before, but at their very first instant, they wanted to help her.
Absolutely. No, even from the opening scene when you see 12 jump into the pool... You know, that was 12, right? Or was it 9?
That was 9.
Yeah, I don't remember. So when the first time you see 9 jump into the pool, I mean, like, you notice that right off the bat that they, you know, live normal lives, but they also live the normal lives of students, and it helps you connect with them, you know. It helps you connect with them as characters and as regular people, too. And their character development is... very normal, and that's a good thing in connecting with an audience.
I just love Lisa's impression of them. The smile like sunshine, eyes like ice.
Yeah.
Ooh, so good. So good. Ooh.
Mm. But yeah, I like them. Like, and it's kind of weird because it's going to turn into one of those things like Breaking Bad, when you're watching Walter White, who's the bad guy the whole time, and you're like, well, who do I root for? Do I root for the police who are trying to catch the bad guy, or do I root for Walter White,
always Walter White.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, that same contemplation is going to go through the show, because they introduced the police characters, too, and they were awesome,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Cool.
The guy playing Shogi by himself, you know, and then... But then you have the terrorist characters who are like, I really like these guys, you know?
I always thought that.
So would you say it's like more of like a darker Lupin the Third and Inspector Zenigata?
No. No. I always imagine I would get so many more anime references if I knew what the meaning of Shogi was.
Like, yeah, right. Yeah.
There's so many people playing Shogi at important parts, and it's just like, okay, they're playing Shogi.
Well, yeah, I remember.
It's Japanese chess, so I think it's him trying to, like, test out the moves, which way they're going to go, try to figure out what's the next move, and try to outsmart the other person.
I understand that it's Japanese chess. I've always I learned that from the Cowboy Bebop movie, pretty much. Mm-hmm. But it's always in anime, yeah. And it's always at weird parts. It's almost like it's a symbol. It's a Japanese cultural symbol that we just don't understand at a deeper level. I don't know.
I think it's just a Japanese symbol for planning.
Yeah, probably. I'm probably overthinking it. I'm just saying.
Well, remember what Jet Black was talking about? Let's do that move again, because I wanted to move right here. And yeah. Spike was like, so much for your premeditative thoughts and your premeditative moves.
Yep.
So it could be related to that. But
Cowboy Bebop.
Yep, but going back to this other Watanabe anime, Terror Resonance. You know, when I was watching this, how dark it is, I kind of got the understanding of why maybe Watanabe also wanted to do Space Dandy. Because where Space Dandy is just free caring, funny as hell and everything, this show is more geared towards something really, really dark. And I feel like Watanabe was trying to balance it out so he doesn't go crazy with, like, super sad drama sort of things.
Yeah. Oh,
Space Dandy. And in recent thought, is this really the first time we've seen Watanabe do dark? I mean, if you think about it,
I mean, he went pretty dark at the end of Cowboy Bebop, but not this dark.
Not even close. Like it's
maybe a little bit in Macross Plus.
Yeah, I haven't seen Plus
Or any Macross,
let alone yeah. But
you should, because Walter White's in Macross Plus.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
The Cran Man?
Yeah. Cran Man.
Oh, you have my interest. Okay.
But really, in all honesty, I feel like this is the first time where Watanabe is taking a very dark storyline and trying to put his unique spin on it.
Yeah, and I mean, his unique spin works very well, and just because he's such a good story writer that you can watch him, you know, make an anime about the dictionary.
Well, he did a whole anime about jazz with Kids on the Slope, and that was like one of the best shows that came out that year.
Yeah, that was an amazing, amazing, amazing show.
So what are you guys hoping this show is going to take it? Like, where do you hope Watanabe is going to take the characters of 9, 12, and Lisa throughout its duration?
I have no idea, because I don't know if they're going to do more terror plots or if that was the terror plot to set the story in motion. Like, and there's just this story that nobody even knows about.
Yeah, like there's just going to be hiding or I don't know.
They're not going to be hiding.
Well, they're going to be hiding in plain view, you know, for most of it. Like if they're going to keep going to school and things like that. And then, of course, we're going to have the police trying to figure out, you know, they're going to be going to crime scenes and stuff like that, you know.
I have episode 2 downloaded. I just got to watch it, you know.
Right. I'm still waiting for the second episode to come up on Hulu. And, you know, I think what I would like to see with them do is sort of like the V for Vendetta route. They had this one terrorist attack, and then I feel like the next one should be plotted out throughout the rest of the series.
I see. Yeah, I get what you're saying. That's and that goes along with, you know, seeing other terror plots too. It's just that the only way I can see it moving forward, like if the cops are going to try to catch them, they have to do more stuff in order for them to be caught on a trail, rather instead of just having, you know, one crime. I think that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I agree. So you're hoping that maybe a couple more terror plots, maybe a couple small ones, and then going for the final big one up against whatever this thing was that they were part of back in the day.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't have many more scenes of, like, action stealing plutonium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But knowing Shinichiro Watanabe, it's going to be done in a very Western way.
I agree.
Very Western storytelling way.
Yeah, and I honestly can't wait to see how this show is going to turn out in the end.
Yep. Me too.
Right. So while we move on to the other show, the show that you guys turned me on, thankfully, to, Akame got killed. Now, when I first read the title of this, I was thinking, oh, great. So now all the anime series are going to have Kill in the title because of Kill la Kill.
They will do that. That actually is a thing, but Akame got killed was a manga first.
Yes.
Yeah.
And It's based off a manga series by Takahiro. That's his name or her name. He just goes by that one name, Takahiro. And it's also animated by the guys from White Fox, who did Devil is a Part-Timer, Steins Gate, and that one anime that's so horrible, I now do everything I can not to even mention its name.
What is it?
Super Sonico. So, the premise of this, well, the first episode, you're introduced to this guy, Tatsumi. He slays this awesome dragon, and it turns out he's going off to the kingdom because he's trying to raise money for the village.
Yeah, for his secret, his hidden leaf village.
Yes, his hidden leaf village. He gets himself kicked out of recruitment center for being too cocky. He's robbed by a woman who is well endowed, and then finds himself sleeping on the street.
That's right.
And then this seemingly nice young rich girl, Aria, picks him up, takes him to her mansion, and he learns about these assassins called Night Raid. He tells him the backstory about losing his two very best friends, who he is very, very, very close to.
Yeah, and how he's first is setting on a journey to meet up with them, and then a journey to save the village.
Yep. And then shit hits the fan.
Yeah, all of it.
I don't want to. I don't know what we should say, you know, in regards to it, because whether or not, you know, we've already said too much already.
Maybe I could say something like, maybe I should write this in my journal. / Oh, I know what should be my first entry. Dear journal, guess who has two thumbs and no longer any lower torso? This girl.
That part was awesome.
That part was awesome. I thought that was super weird.
One of my favorite things that came out of the show was it has very minimal censorship. I mean, I know there was a little bit of censorship at that part, but you could tell what was going on. She was getting cut in half.
Yes. Did you guys see episode 2 yet?
Yeah.
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Yeah, we can put all that stuff in the hardcore anime panel.
Yeah.
That was pretty sweet.
Dude, I was watching this. That's a hardcore anime. That's a hardcore anime. That may be a question for a future panel that we're still trying to work on.
Yeah. But no, I absolutely love Akame ga Kill, with some minor, you know, setbacks that every anime has.
All right. So what are some of these setbacks? Because I kind of got a couple for, like, character-wise.
Well, here's the one that me personally, the one that I keep bringing up, and I brought up on our podcast, and I'll bring up forever, was how basically throughout the episode, it was basically saying, where is the most inappropriate spot to put a piece of comedy? Oh, right here? Let's go with it then, you know? That was kind of weird.
That didn't bother me.
No, it didn't bother me, because I kind of like the comedy mixed with the darkness.
Well, see, and I kind of get it, but it's kind of a shonen-y thing to do, and I understand that the show is kind of shonen-y, but it's kind of too gory to be shonen-y, so I'm still trying to figure out what the show is trying to be.
So are most of Edgar Wright's movies.
I don't really see it as that kind of a comedy, though.
Right.
Because Edgar Wright uses the gore to his advantage to get laughs, where this show is like, oh, there's gore and laughs, kind of a thing.
Yeah,
like,
it's two where separate it's
two
elements.
Two separate elements is where Edgar Wright kind of mashes them together.
Okay.
One of the mine's kind of double edged, which, like, you're stuck on moving the story along, and then you're like, we're supposed to accept the fact that these two people who are traveling with him that he's trying to find are his best friends. Mm-hmm. And we learn next to nothing about them, you know, and we're supposed to care about them and everything like that. But I didn't, you know, I just know that's one of the problems that I have. Like I said, is a problem with most animes, you know, where they tell you why things are awesome, but they don't show you why things are awesome.
Yeah.
Things should always be shown why things are awesome, not just told and you're supposed to accept that. That's
well,
how
maybe,
story comes.
Maybe they might be telling some more backstory stuff. Maybe they'll do some flashbacks. They'll show why these friends were very important to him.
Yeah, but we already know what happens to them, so it's kind of pointless at this point.
That's true. And
like,
you know,
yeah, the caring session is over, basically.
But the thing, too, that kind of bothered me is, like, he built up these two friends that sounded so awesome. And you're like, wow, I can't wait to meet them, and then that happens.
Well, yeah, it's weird.
It brings to mind when I first watched Elfin Lied in the first 5 minutes. You see this really, you see the ditzy girl that shows up during this first 5 minutes. And you see her talking to a friend. Oh, she seems nice. She seems cute and everything. And then she slips and falls in front of, you know, what's her name? What's the main character's name?
Lucy.
And Lucy, she shows up right in front of Lucy, falls, tells about how I hurt my butt. And you think, okay, this is going to be the part where Lucy is like, oh, let's give a new best friend and everything. Nope, she rips her head off instead.
Are you sure you want to go down this road, Evan? Because you're stepping into some deep waters with me.
Nope, I won't. I know you I know you love that show so much, man. But I'm just sharing you my first impressions of when I first saw Elfin Lied.
No, absolutely. And where she is a more important character in the manga, I totally agree. I know what you're talking about.
Okay. All right.
I'm totally joking with you. It's just funny when. I thought it was funny that you brought up my favorite anime, so I like to talk about it.
So here's one of the things about Akame ga Kill that I loved so much. You're basically watching a D&D campaign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is so true. I don't have all the characters' names in mind yet, but the big guy is the character that I play in every single campaign.
He's just not gay.
Yeah, he's just not gay. Yeah. But
let me say that, man, because I want to say about Bullet, I like how he is gay, but he's not the stereotypical gay that we see in every other anime.
Well, he's a suave gentleman.
Yeah, he's a muscle gay. We know a lot of those from Florida.
But he's not like say Leron and Gurren Lagann. He's not that sort.
Yeah. And it's also kind of a thing where, well, at least at the point it was in the second episode where they were just kind of like, oh, here he is, and it's like, oh, and by the way, he's gay. Is like they're not like dwelling on it, oh, we're gonna make jokes about it now. Like that's just his character or something.
Yeah.
So I mean, they might make jokes about it, and that is funny. Like, that'll be funny if they make jokes. But I mean, otherwise, he's the tank gentleman character, and there's always a tank general, or Jonathan is always the tank gentleman character, at least in our campaigns. And there always needs to be a tank in the campaigns, and he's a tank, and he's awesome.
He also has a bit of what I like to call Oron syndrome.
Yeah.
Where his smile just makes magical roses appear everywhere in the background.
The shoujo effect.
The shoujo effect. I call it Oron syndrome because
both are good.
Yeah, shoujo effect is both, you know, the roses appearing and the button and shoujo bubbles. Shoujo bubbles.
Yeah. But I like all the characters and their unique style. Like they're all like Dick Tracy characters.
Now one of the things that I keep saying about it is I feel like all of the characters in Night Raid each have a personality that if you mash them together, they would make one complete character.
That's true. Because I could see like one person representing this sort of emotion, person representing this sort of emotion.
Yeah. So that's kind of how I feel about it. I don't mind it. Cause I think it works for what the show's doing. Mm-hmm. It is so funny how comparing it to a D&D campaign is hitting the nail right on the head.
Yeah. You know what? I feel like if you put all those characters together, all the characters in Night Raid together, you would make Zoro.
You'd make Zoro? Maybe.
I don't know. Was Zoro ever a tsundere?
Yeah, does
Zoro he could always be that sort of suave guy, not really showing his emotions too much, but then all of a sudden, boom, will show his emotions. He likes to rib, kind of like Leon does, and...
I don't know.
Yeah, if you put Night Raid together, boom, it's Zoro. Antonio Banderas Zoro.
I'm sorry, all I'm thinking of is, man, we should make a D&D campaign off of Akame ga Kill. So.
You know what? That would actually make me play D&D.
Dude, why wouldn't you play D&D anyway?
I don't know why. I've been... A couple people have asked me, you gotta play D&D. You gotta play D&D. I've never really been in the right state of mind or... had the time to really sit down and play it. So
well, I guess we're gonna have to play some D&D then. Once we get we'll invite John
off topic.
Yeah, I know.
We'll get Sarah in on it, or I'm sorry, 42 Believer in on it. We'll get everybody in on it.
Yeah, we will, and we'll record it.
Yes, absolutely.
And we'll post it. Yeah, we'll do our audio show. It'll be awesome.
Yes,
so freaking awesome.
All right, so now back to this. One thing that I didn't quite like, and I'm glad they kind of. Like, cut it short. was that whole, oh, Tatsumi first doesn't like Akame because he's treating him poorly, that sort of thing. Because when you see that sort of thing, you think, all right, this is going to be the love interest. You might as well just start registering them at Bed Bath & Beyond because they're going to get married. But then, at the end, it's like, oh, you passed the test. I'm going to be nice to you now for the rest of the show.
It's kind of weird because I was really, really, really liking the idea that main character doesn't like main character. Like, how, in a sort of way that would be kind of breaking the mold a little bit. You know, you don't usually see two main characters that hate each other always. You know, they always end up liking each other like they did, and they always end up doing something to change the story. But how cool would it be if this main character's personality was, I don't like that character over there.
Well, and it kind of seems like it is that way. I mean, you have characters training each other. Like, we're going through training phases, so you're meeting all the characters. They're making it seem like that. I believe the pink-haired tsundere, I believe her name is Mine. Mine, that's right. She's the love interest.
Really?
That's what I'm getting. Well, that's what I assume. I'm getting that Akame is the love interest.
Because her name's in the title.
Kinda, but I don't know what they're gonna do with that.
Yeah, that is another weird thing. I have no idea why her name is the title character.
Because she's not like the leader or anything. It should have just been called. Well, right. There's already an anime called Night Raid, so you can't be calling it Night Raid.
I don't know. I don't know if they're gonna go the love triangle route. That would be kind of weird.
I think they're gonna go the harem route.
Haramu, do you think
every character in Night Raid has the capabilities of loving Tatsumi?
Mm-hmm.
Every character.
No, there's that green-haired guy who they introduced for like 5 seconds, and I still have no idea who he is.
I forget his name.
Like, even from the first episode, I was like, I don't remember him being in the first episode. I don't remember what he did.
He's got the finger strings, like those fiber wire strings.
Like Ray?
Like Walter from Helsing.
Oh, okay.
Oh, right. Right.
I don't remember that, honestly.
Yeah, remember that when you first see Night Raid outside of the mansion in the first episode,
they're all standing,
and they're standing on the webbing of the strings, which is really weird.
Yeah, I just didn't make the connection in my brain.
That's his power. Yeah,
I didn't make the connection that that's what he was doing. I thought they were just standing on strings for some reason. Seriously,
because anime.
Yeah.
Yes. I know we've only seen the first two episodes of this. I think it's going to be a great show. I think this might be the show of the summer,
I think it's going to be my favorite of the season.
I'm going to disagree with you both because I have my own favorite show of the season. I will continue to watch Akame Ga Kill because I really enjoy it, but it's not my favorite show of the season.
All right. What's yours then?
Barakamon.
Oh, yeah, Barakamon.
Barakamon, the slice of life comedy about the calligraphy artist.
Oh, okay.
That is dead seriously. I watched the first episode. And I had the second episode, and after I watched the first episode, I just went right into the second episode like, I have to watch this forever now. This is the best thing I've ever seen.
So it's that funny?
It has a charmingly funny sense of humor. It's really funny to me. And you get cultural bits about Japan.
Yeah, I don't find it really funny. I find it more charming, and I just enjoy watching the passing of time.
I fell in love with it after watching the first episode. It was just brilliant to me.
Interesting.
Yeah, I am digging the crap out of that show. Barakamon, the slice of life about calligraphy artist.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, so let's take a short break. When we come back, we are going to talk Smash Brothers.
Boom.
Yeah. So up next, we've got a band called Fox. I first heard of this group from listening to the popular podcast series Welcome to Night Vale, and I absolutely loved their sound. This September, they'll begin work on their first full-length album, but for now, you can check out their EPs on Bandcamp. Here's a cut from their Chris Sinclair release. It's called Toxic Brain. We'll be right back.
change. I ain't right. To lose my mind. I ain't leaving. This dream behind. Don't look me in the eye, I can't hide. Kono kimochi kimi kara kakusenai. I, ooh girl. Cause you're my best friend's girl. Don't treat me so nice, I can't lie. Kore ijou kimochi uso tsukenai. I, ooh girl.
Hi,
Girl, don't look me in the eye, I can't hide. Kono kimochi kimi kara kakusenai. I, ooh girl. Cause you're my best friend's girl. Don't treat me so nice, I can't lie. Kore ijou kimochi uso tsukenai. I
らないこの恋は辛い本当は君に伝えたいけれども言えないだけど隠せないもうかなり限界本当は君奪いたい時々会う君に本音を隠すたび I cry 友達の彼女も友達と信じる I try うんそんなと限って仲間の集まりまた君ばったりってことはあいつも一緒久しぶり二人俺見てにっこりわざとテンション高く笑えない席で笑ったふり友達の前の目の前でも言えない本音胸の痛み左の悪魔がささやく奪っちゃい好きなら構わず片や天使の忠告友達だろって分かってるよくけど結局仲良く手繋ぐ二人の前じゃ俺の存在はシースルー君の思いと共に深い海に沈む If I see you in another life もし生まれ変われるなら神様また巡り合わせてお願い Would you be mine? Oh baby would you be mine? Please baby would you be mine? Oh baby would you be mine? But you're my best friend's girl Don't look me in the eye I can't hide この気持ち君から隠す
Wise with Best Friend's Girl from his Love Quest album. Some of you out there may be familiar with his work with the Teriyaki Boys, which he worked alongside with Verbal of M-Flow, Ilmarian Realize of Rip Slime, and a Bathing Ape founder, Nigo. And hey, with a little bit of arm twisting, we have 42 Believer joining us now.
Yeah, you did twist my arm pretty hard there. It was not gonna lie, but I eventually caved in because I don't know, you guys are cool or something.
Yes, we're cool.
But somehow Jonathan has disappeared into the abyss.
The incredible disappearing Jonathan.
I kicked him out. It was my fault. my appearance, I had to kick him out. There was too many people in the room.
It's just like, I'll do it, but Jonathan really has to go.
He really has to go.
He knows what he did.
The disappearance of John Cizumia.
So, we're going to have a little bit of fun with this segment because Super Smash Bros. Is about a couple months away from being released. And with the announcement of the return to Captain Falcon and the arrival of two Fire Emblem characters, Robin and Lucina, I keep forgetting how you pronounce that one.
Lucina.
I figure we're just going to have some fun. We're going to throw some suggestions to characters we'd like to see. And maybe even possibly, let's go deep into what their final Smash could also be.
let me just start off by saying that the addition of Lucina and Robin has me freaking out because buying Fire Emblem Awakening was literally the reason why I bought a 3DS. I literally bought a $200 game to get the 3DS. So the fact that they're having Lucina and Robin in the game is freaking sweet to me. Yeah. And then I was off on this crazy tangent, like, man, what if you could customize Robin like you can in Fire Emblem Awakening? And where I didn't kind of get that, you do get to choose whether Robin is male or female. Like, that's pretty awesome.
And then there's the whole, what is it, Crone?
Crom.
Crom, And I gotta say that, Crumb is probably one of the dumbest names I've heard in Fire Emblem. Crumb doesn't sound like a masculine sword fighter. He sounds like a stupid caveman.
I'm sorry, man, but you have... I'm sorry, Ed Sara, I know you're trying to say things, but we're talking about Fire Emblem, and this is my jam, yo.
I was gonna say a Fire Emblem thing, okay?
Go ahead, what are you gonna say, Sara?
Okay, so it's funny that you say that you don't think that Crumb is manly.
Well, no, Evan, I'm not saying Crumb isn't manly. Crumb, the name Crumb just doesn't sound like a manly name. Crumb, it sounds like a big, hairy caveman just going, Crumb smash, Crumb bash.
No, but it's so funny, because remember back at Anime Boston, we had the Matt Mercer interview.
Yes.
And you know my friend Jennifer was there with us.
Yep.
And I said, all right, Jennifer, I know you've played Fire Emblem. Why don't you say something to him? Why don't you ask one of the questions? And she was like, no, I cannot do it. Why would you ever? Don't even talk to me, Sarah. Just get out of my face.
You can't she disappoint loves a picture. Crom.
She loves Crom so much.
I have to say that when I did when I played my second playthrough of Fire Emblem and played as a female, I married Crom.
Crom like you. Crom make you be one.
She says that every time she plays Fire Emblem, she always goes for Crom's route because she can't stand to see Crom marry anyone else.
Yeah, and I was totally the same way when okay, this is I swear this will lead into the Smash Brothers conversation. this is gonna be an awesome segue. Get ready, I'm about to blow your minds. when I played my first playthrough, I married Sully, which I know you guys aren't probably. Sarah, are you familiar with Fire Emblem at all, or the new one?
Only from what Jennifer's told me, and that's all about Crom.
Okay, so anyway, I married Sully, and Sully is my number one, like, made literally, I married her because I would marry this girl, kind of a thing. And if you guys knew Sully in the game, and then you guys obviously know me, you'd be like, oh yeah, that makes sense. I want to see Sully in Smash, because they introduced these awesome two characters, Lucina and Robin, into Smash Brothers. And I want to see them just keep going. Like, they should almost make Super Smash Brothers into a Fire Emblem fighter game. And I want to see Sully in there. I want to see Sully in there. I want to see my wife. I want to see my waifu in there. I want to see my waifu in there.
Ugh. I'm just really happy that they put Sheik in there. Not going to lie. Sheik is one of my favorite characters from the Zelda franchise. And I really wish they would put Impa in there, because they're putting Impa into the Zelda Warriors game. They put Impa into the Zelda Warriors game, and I wish they would do that for Super Smash, because I think that'd be really freaking sweet.
Yeah. It's true. They have a lot of really interesting characters that they're adding as far as Legend of Zelda goes. I kind of wish they add a couple more that I like, but
well, we got one more month, man. You never know what they're going to announce.
This is true. This is very true. Granted, there aren't many Zelda characters that I don't like, so adding any Zelda character would be like, oh yeah, that's wicked cool. But
they
Fire Emblem.
Fire Emblem in Tingle.
Yes, Tingle.
I'm a little magic man.
Is he not part of a super the Smash or the Ultimate Smash? Because they did the same thing with Crom is in the game, but Crom is only in Lucina's Ultimate Smash.
Not gonna lie, it's doubtful that they put him in the Ultimate Smash.
Yeah. Why?
Because he's like the most annoying character ever.
That's how they kill off all the other characters. They annoy them to death.
Oh, you know who would be cool if they put in the Happy Mask Salesman from Majora's Mask?
That would be so creepy.
I would love that. He's so just, oh my god, he just kind of makes you shiver with how creepy he is. That would be really interesting.
If you want to be a little bit creepy, You know, they haven't announced Wario yet for this new Smash Brothers, but I would love to see, considering it's the year of Luigi is going strong, I want to see Waluigi in this game.
Waluigi.
Waluigi.
And in one game, I remember I saw a GIF on Tumblr, side note, and it was of Waluigi, and he kind of like, you know, after he wins a game or whatever, and he, like, points towards his dick. And I was like, whoa, Nintendo, what you doing there?
Wow, CD.
It's like, suck my dick. That's basically the motion he does, you know.
Waluigi, these nuts.
But who do you want to see, Evan?
You know, all right, so this one's kind of like a bit of a fantasy, but because this is a character who was technically in a Nintendo game, NES game, but was taken out later due to legal reasons and such. I want to see Mike Tyson. I'm sorry. He was the final match in Punch-Out. I feel like if you had Little Mac there, all right, King Hippo, that would be the most obvious choice. But imagine Nintendo went, nope, we got Iron Mike Tyson in this game. You know how many people would flip their shit if that happened?
No, so I wonder what they would make him sound like if they'd just be like, "Oh, man, guys."
Oh, you know who they had in a previous Smash Brothers game that I really want back because I played the game as a kid? Star Fox.
Well, Star Fox is still in there.
Yeah, Fox.
He's
Fox
still here. Never. Yes.
But Falco isn't yet.
Yes. No, he's not. That is so true.
He's not on the list. Falco. I'm like, I don't see him here.
Falco.
Yeah.
Falco Punch.
I really missed that. Falco Punch. Oh, my God. Do a barrel.
How about Samurai Goro from F-Zero? I feel like there should be a little bit more love for the F-Zero franchise, and I feel like Samurai Goro would be the perfect character to choose.
See, there's so many F-Zero characters that it would be so hard to choose one. Like, Captain Falcon kind of makes sense because he had his own show at one time. He's kind of main character material, but he's not really the main character of F-Zero. He's just on the box. Like, it's kind of like how, you know, they choose the athlete who's going to be on the front of the cover. Well, Captain Falcon's always the athlete on the front of the cover kind of a thing. So it's kind of interesting that he's even in the game in the first place. To be honest, did either of you guys ever play F-Zero X?
I never played F-Zero X. I played F-Zero GX, and I played the original F-Zero.
Yeah, F-Zero X had like 40 characters in it.
But I chose more for Samurai Goro because he was one of the original four characters from the original.
Okay.
If you wanted, you know what? I know it'd be a little bit risky because it's still a new franchise and the game hasn't come out yet. But I would love to see one of the Splatoon characters.
They, who knows, man? They might. I mean, and now, I don't even know what to say about that because I agree.
And like her final smash, it could be her growing into a giant squid and just whacking everybody off the map.
I agree.
And you guys have seen the pictures of the creator of Squid Girl making pictures of the Splatoon girl.
Yeah.
Imagine if they actually put Squid Girl in Splatoon. I would just be so happy.
Now,
it could work.
Now, here's something that I want to throw in there. Now that Nintendo and Capcom are in cahoots a little bit, they should have Monster Hunter characters, man. You should be able to play as a feline or a guild maiden or a guild sweetheart from Monster Hunter. Heck yeah, I'd be all over that.
That would be a
no one cares purpose. About Monster Hunter except you, Andrew.
Well, if you want to talk,
so many people.
If you want to talk Capcom characters, more characters that should be brought back. How about King Arthur from Ghosts and Goblins or Ghouls and Ghosts?
He was in Marvel versus Capcom, so I don't know if they would allow that.
Why wouldn't they allow that?
I don't know, because he's already in another franchise. So
is Mega Man, remember?
That is very true. This is very true. But Mega Man is more of a popular character, I would think, than I don't. Yeah, that's a good point. That is totally a valid point for something like that. I don't know. He is a popular character, but he's kind of a cult following popular character.
I believe.
Well, there are plenty of Smash Brothers characters on there that have cult followings. Remember, Fire Emblem characters started out, their first time here in America was in Super Smash Brothers Melee. Fire Emblem never came out here.
This is very, very, very true. You were just like, Andrew, shut up.
Ah. Are there any anime characters you'd guys like to see in a Smash Brothers game?
I want to see Rama Saotome.
That would be so awesome. He could be like Zelda in Super Smash Brothers Brawl, where you switch between Sheik and Zelda.
Yeah.
And except you just switch between male and female Rama.
Yeah.
Oh man, that sounds awesome.
This is a really good point. What about you, Andrew?
JoJo.
Yeah. What was this?
Well, remember, listen, dude, remember.
I didn't even have to ask. I already knew the answer to the question. And I asked you it anyway so I could interrupt you and say JoJo.
Here's the thing. Bandai Namco made JoJo's Bizarre Adventure All-Star Battle. Namco Bandai is making Super Smash Brothers. They could possibly do that.
Dude, they made a Japanese-only J-Star Victory Battle or something like that.
Right.
And JoJo, or at least Jonathan Joestar, was in that game.
Jotaro, there was Joestar, and Dio.
You're right. And know who else was in that game? Kenshiro.
Yep.
Kenshiro should totally be another. But Kenshiro has, believe it, there was another fighting game that came out of Japan. It was a Japan-only release. They had it at Anime Boston every once in a while, where they have characters like Optimus Prime, Luffy, Naruto, Kenshiro, all these bizarre mix of shonen characters, and Optimus Prime. I don't know what's up with that. But it played like Super Smash Brothers on the same kind of platform stage, just with all Shonen Jump characters and Optimus Prime. And there's got to be other characters, too.
I can see Kenshiro's Final Smash and him going, what?
Yeah. 100 Crackfist? Why not?
Yeah.
Personally, anime character. There's two anime characters that I really want to see. Did you ever get around to actually watching the Kano Kyokai's movies, Andrew?
Not yet.
You gotta do it, because I really think Ryoki Shiki from those movies, she would make a really, really badass character, because she has the mystic eyes of death perception, and she's just freaking amazing, and oh my god, I would totally, totally be down with that.
Oh no, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Thanks. The second one that I really want, and he also was in the J-Stars game, and the only reason I know this is because they made a figure of him, and I want that figure.
You're talking about
from that game, right? The Majin Tantagami Nero.
Yes.
Yeah, that guy.
I have to watch that anime. I really have to watch that anime.
I keep talking about it, and I'm like the only one who ever talks about it. And especially on Tumblr, because it's such a small, 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 tiny fandom that anything I can just rip my fingers into and be like, reblog, get it on my blog. I have 30 pages of tagged material of that anime because I love it so much, and I think he would make a really, really, really cool character to play as in Super Smash Brothers. But that's just me. I don't know. I'm not obsessed or anything.
Yeah. Well, if you want to talk...
Who's obsessed here? Wow.
Well, to go back to video game characters, I was thinking, because, you know, they just announced Pac-Man is going to be a playable character in Super Smash Brothers.
Pac-Man?
Yes. And I was thinking, well, what are some other classic Namco characters? I'm thinking, what about Dig Dug?
Yeah, man. That was my dad's favorite game. Fun fact.
And his Final Smash, he can just grab the characters and inflate them until they explode off the stage.
Let's see. Other Namco characters. The Derby car.
Pole Position.
Oh, man.
How about this? Oliver from Ni no Kuni. Because the game did come to the DS, but only in Japan.
Really?
Yes. So with Bandai
that's
Namco...
Weird.
Well, they said it was almost impossible for them to translate the spell book into English, so that's why they didn't translate it here in America. Bullshit! Sorry.
Laziness on their part.
Yeah.
No way, man. There's so many logistics that you guys just don't even know about. So.
Probably.
Don't even know.
What other characters would you guys like to see?
I don't know.
Let's see.
Is anyone familiar with the Figma, not the Figma, but the figure series Real Action Heroes and how amazing those look? They made a Martin Luther King one, and I don't know why, but I think that's ridiculous, and I want Martin Luther King to be in Super Smash Brothers.
I have a dream!
You did, however, say Figma, which automatically went to my Figma collection in my brain, and which made me think... King Cosma, man.
King Cosma. Oh my god, that would be so awesome.
Wouldn't that be so awesome if he was a Super Smash Brothers character?
I'd be down for that. And then we could have like Natsuki as well in her ultimate form. That'd be freaking sweet.
And the Final Smash could be the Love Machine coming in and smashing everything.
Or, well, I mean, Natsuki's Final Smash would be like the ultimate... Yeah, the ultimate wave. Yeah, Koi Koi, and then the ultimate wave of, like, everybody's avatar.
Koi Koi! Koi Koi! Koi Koi! Man, I cry so much at that scene.
Me too. All of Mamoru Soda's movies make me cry. So.
Oh, yeah. Same here. I'm staring at the poster I have of Samurai in my room.
That's my man tears. My man tears movies.
We're talking to all your fans who are like, what are they even talking about? We're talking about Summer Wars. Go watch it.
Cool. Summer Wars is amazing, and you watch it now, otherwise I kill you.
Well, what about, how about Bayonetta?
Let's see.
Bayonetta should be in Smash Brothers.
It's honestly not that much of a stretch anymore, seeing that number two is a Wii U title.
Yep. Wii U exclusive.
Like, that's so bizarre.
And, of course, yep. Final Smash should be the final climax.
You know who I want to see in Smash Brothers? I want to see Revy from Black Lagoon. I think that would be really, really awesome. Just you know what? Maybe just Black how about Lagoon? Just all the characters from Black Lagoon, like the entire cast of Black Lagoon. Because awesome. I think that'd be really fun. Because I think Black Lagoon would be awesome, though, if you think about it. Like, all those characters are so freaking badass. Especially, like, Revy and Balalaika are probably my favorites from that. And that would be just really awesome.
I think that's why you would have, the Black Lagoon characters, or the Black Lagoon crew, would probably fit better for a different fighting game altogether.
Yeah. Probably.
Because Smash is a little light for them.
This is true.
How about Death the Kid from Soul Eater? I think he would be awesome in Smash Brothers.
I can see that. I can see, yes. Especially once he goes like with the full out Reaper and like the lines in his head starts to connect. That would be pretty cool.
I think that should be his final Smash.
Yeah.
I think we should just be pitching a game with all of our favorite Shonen Jump characters.
Just all the characters.
It'll be called
Jace
Jump All Stars.
Jesus.
Whatever it's called.
But no, I think there's so many great anime characters out there that just deserve to be in a game like that. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it'll never happen for a lot of them just makes me so sad.
Get on that, Nintendo. Get on that.
Well, Nintendo
has been on a movie, roll.
But
so. Nintendo has been on a roll. Has been on quite the roll.
Yeah.
Oh my god, did you guys see the, how they're going to do the new Zelda game, how it's going to be like open sandbox style, kind of like a Elder Scrolls game.
That's what they're pitching. Let's see what they deliver.
I hope they deliver because fuck man, I would totally be down for that.
Cause you have to remember, Sarah, did we see it? Of course we saw it. We watched E3 like it's our Super Bowl.
Yes.
It's you actually miss out on on my fun, awesome experience at what it's like on my end, because
that? I can't hear you over there because I'm in Los Angeles at the actual event.
I know, yeah, you do. But our friends, because we all went to, you know, game college and
I was in animation, but it doesn't matter. I was still into games. And so basically all of Jonathan's friends who were in all the gaming game programs, they all we literally turned Facebook into Twitter, and there are so many people getting angry with us. Like, it's like, you know, like saying these passive, like putting up these passive aggressive messages like, oh, you should not, some people should not use this website like it's Twitter. Like, and it's like, I know you're talking about me, man. Like, you cut out, like, it's like, it's like, it happens once every year. You can deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Just let me have my moment. This is for me. This is for me to do. I'm gonna just geek out about it.
Because we literally Facebook the play-by-play of E3. and people get so mad because if they don't care about E3, their newsfeed is just flooded with all this video game information that they do not care about, and it's the funniest thing because they get so angry.
So, mm-hmm. All right, going back to the video game characters and everything, because they did show that there was going to be a Rayman trophy in Super Smash Brothers, but I don't think Rayman is going to be the playable one. I think it's going to be the Rabbids.
Well, usually when there's a trophy, it doesn't always mean that there's even that character in a game. Because you have to remember, I mean, they have all these they have all these characters that they used to have. Because wait a second, have any of the Starbound characters been announced?
You mean Earthbound?
Earthbound, sorry.
No, nothing. That was actually one of the characters I want to see. I want to see Luke, and I want to see Ness. I mean, they have to have enough room on the disc to fill every single character they've had previously on Smash Brothers into this game.
I would sure hope so, because and actually they didn't even from previous titles they actually didn't even announce Meta Knight again, because Meta Knight was in the past couple and now he's not even in it.
I think there was actually a lot of people complaining about Meta Knight, especially in tournaments, because whoever plays as Meta Knight, they always win. In fact, I think it's a rule for when doing Smash Brothers Brawl in tournaments, you cannot play as Meta Knight.
Oh yeah, dude, I've been in plenty gaming tournaments, like fighting game tournaments, mm-hmm. and there are banned characters. Like, you can't play specific characters if they're broken. It's totally a rule.
Yeah.
That they do.
Mm-hmm. So let's see. What other characters would we like to see in this video game?
Yuno from Mirror Nikki.
Or not. Or we could not do that. We could...
Yuki!
Yuki, Yuki, Yuki. That would be her, like, final smash, is her just screaming Yuki over and over again.
Yeah, and then you're just like, that's it. I don't want to play this game anymore. Like, I just...
just get this out of my face. I don't want to see it. Like, just... gone. Get it gone.
How about Homura from Madoka Magica?
That would be so bizarre. If it, like, Madoka Magica characters would be awesome.
I could see that. I could totally see that happening. I think go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, though, granted, Madoka Magica kind of would... The anime kind of develops its own fighting game. Like, why isn't there a Madoka Magica... This brings up a good point. Why isn't there a Madoka Magica fighting game? Come on.
Yeah, they just have that side-scrolling thing that came out. That they charged 7,000 yen for, even though it looked like a total Xbox Live title.
That is a lot of yen to charge for just one game. No.
Video games are ridiculously expensive in Japan, Sarah. It's like 7,000 yen is the average price of a video game over there.
That's $70, though. Like, no.
I don't understand it either. That's... take it from me as someone who spins Japanese music. It costs $30 for one CD over there.
It does. It's really, really incredibly expensive.
But I could see Madoka Magica characters in a video game like that. That would be really cool, because all of them have their unique powers. But then again, they have, like, you know, Madoka being, like, God, and then, like, Homura being, like, the devil. Spoilers. Spoilers if you haven't seen Madoka Magica Rebellion.
Is that what that was all about?
What was all about?
The movie we watched?
Yes.
Yes. You didn't get that part?
You didn't get the part that she became the devil?
No.
Oh my god, dude.
What?
How did you not know that?
Oh my god.
Because Madoka becomes God at the end of the series, and then at this one, Homura becomes the devil.
I just
I mean,
how did that you not was put the that whole together? Ending.
Dude, that movie was so art housey. I didn't even know what I would. And not to mention, I was feverish by the end of the movie, literally. Because if you remember that, the day after was when I had like I was immobilized. It was sickness, and I was like, I don't know. That was weird.
I'm just like, how did you not know that?
Because I don't know. I didn't pick that up at all. Like I didn't get that from what I was watching.
No, they really? Blatantly oh said God. It in the movie. So if you're going to become the god, I guess I'll have to be the devil.
I didn't know that was in a literal sense.
Yes, the literal sense. Everyone calls her Homucifer now.
Because, see, that movie was in... It was so artsy and archaic that I didn't take it literally.
Oh, wow. That reminds me. They should have Miku Hatsune in the Super Smash game.
You guys have shattered my universe.
I'm sorry. I just was like, yeah. And so now we got the devil and stuff. And you're like, what?
Because they were like still friends with her. Like they were still like, you're not friends with the devil. Like who does that? Like so it's
Marilyn Manson.
Remember Sayaka like treats her like she's like, what are you doing here? And then she's like, I'm doing what I want to do because I'm the devil and stuff. And I'll become the bad guy to your good guy, Madoka, because we're in love. Not really.
I have to see it again. I know that's the weird fan shipping that came out of that. Everybody was like, no, they're in love, and it's like, no, really, they're not.
I don't know where we could go with this segment now. I think I have to put a stop to this segment.
I know,
right
yeah,
now.
Evan, I am so sorry, but we...
That has to be... No, we have to end this segment right there with that. That's the only way to do it.
We got through a lot of characters. I think it'll be okay.
Yes, agreed.
I can't believe you didn't know that!
I'm sorry, it was a weird movie.
Oh my god.
Right. My understanding was it was art housey and that was the end.
Oh. Art house.
Okay, Andrew, Sarah, thank you for coming on to No Borders No Race this week. Please plug away.
I'll go first. If you want to check out what we were talking about today, you will hear some of the information in our upcoming podcast episode, which will be coming out on Thursday, I believe. You can join us at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, where you can find also our review videos that you can find on youtube.com/wickedanimereviews. You can also find our podcast on itunes.com if you're not listening to it on Nerdy Show. Please rate and review. We also have Tumblr with wickedanime.tumblr.com, and you can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime. I believe that should be everything.
All right, so I'm up to the plate. So I go by 42 Believer. You can call me Sarah, but you can find me on Twitter at 42 Believer, on Tumblr at 42believer.tumblr.com, on Facebook at facebook.com/42animereviews, blah, blah, blah. And you can also find me on YouTube, which is where I do most of my main stuff, obviously. 42's anime reviews. Just search 42 Believer in YouTube. You'll find me there. And yeah, go subscribe to me, please.
Yeah, same. If you just search Wicked Anime, you'll find us.
Awesome sauce, guys. Thank you as always, man. And you know, I'm always grateful for you guys. I always come on to my show, and I'm always so happy to be part of your shows. So
it's always a fun time. It's always a fun time.
Friendship is magic.
Friendship is magic.
Friendship. Yes.
Okay. Here's a little Shonen Knife for your sweet tooth. This is from their Birds and the Beast side compilation. It's the very tasty strawberry cream puff. Cake, a round cake. Who's the round cake? Is it Andrew?
I don't want to do this right now.
It's strawberry cream pie. I want my strawberry cream pie.
Sicket and the Army of Broken Toys with Cruel Sister, coming off of their Soft Time Traveler album. Recently, it was announced that the band would be composing an original score for the upcoming Alice Otherlands short films, based off of the popular American McGee games of the same genre. The good news is if the films are a success, then it'll lead to the production of the next Alice video games, so cross your fingers that this happens. Well, that about wraps up this episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, song requests, if you are in a band want to be featured on the show, or if you have any questions for our friend Salwa Sensei, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can find me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com and on Twitter at king_baby_duck. Like us on facebook.com/bostonbastardbrigade and do not forget about the other shows under the Land of Esh, including The Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and The Issues Program. My thanks to the Fleming Brothers once again for coming on to the show. For all your Wicked Anime needs, be sure to go on to nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, wickedanime.tumblr.com, and on youtube.com/wickedanimereviews. And a special thank you to 42 Believer, whose 42's anime reviews can be seen on youtube.com/42believers. That's 42 Believer with an S at the end. And you can also like her Facebook page at facebook.com/42sAnimeReviews. We're going to end things off in a rather cool manner. It's Soil and Pimp Sessions, accompanied by Ringo Shina. It's a cut from their most recent album, Circles, and they call it Kuroshiya Kikipatsu. And until next time, this is King Baby Duck, reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard. But it sure helps.